Hey there, Mike Stelzner coming to you with a fascinating update you might not be familiar with. Did you know that Social Media Examiner can deliver all the marketing training, news, and trends, insights that you need into your inbox 3 days a week when you sign up for our newsletter, and it's completely free? Simply visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates and take your marketing to the next level.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here is your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know how to navigate the ever-changing marketing jungle. I've got a special episode for you today. I'm going to be joined by Noah Kagan. He's the founder of AppSumo. He's an early employee at Facebook and also at Mint.com. And we're going to talk about product marketing strategy, how to build multi-million dollar businesses. And I just want to encourage you to listen to this entire episode because there is solid gold inside of today's podcast episode. By the way, I'm at Stelzner on Facebook, at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter, /X. And if you are new to this podcast and you're not already subscribed, you simply click that silly little follow button on your favorite podcast app and you won't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to this week's interview with Noah Kagan.
Helping you to simplify your social safari. Here is this week's expert guide.
Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Noah Kagan. If you don't know who Noah is, he is the founder of AppSumo, the host of Noah Kagan Presents podcast. He's also the author of a brand new book called Million Dollar Weekend, The Surprisingly Simple Way to Launch a Seven-Figure Business in 48 Hours. He also has a massive YouTube channel, and he's also restarted this podcast with me for the third time, which is now a charm. Noah, welcome to the show. Just as you're putting water in your mouth, how are you doing today?
I am doing excellent. I love recording the show time and time again.
Yeah.
So it's good to see you, Mike. I've been doing the interwebs for quite a while.
Yeah, we've known each other forever. Today, Noah and I are going to explore the marketing strategy he used to grow Mint.com, AppSumo, and a lot of other adventures that he's been on. Before we go there, Noah, let's start a little bit with your backstory. How the heck did you get into marketing? Start wherever you want to start.
I started probably like a lot of where the listeners are today and the viewers, where I didn't really know what to do with my career, but I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I never really formally learned marketing, but I read a lot of Guy Kawasaki's material. I read all of Seth Godin's books, Purple Cow, Permission Marketing. But I, post-college, lived in my mom's house and I got a job at Intel. You know, like most people, and I hated it. I hated the meetings. I hated wearing business professional. And I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I was trying all these things on the weekend, like conferences and websites and businesses. And I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I basically was able to get a job at this new startup called Facebook. And at the time, I was number 30 there, and it was just such an amazing experience. My parents were like, this is such a risky job. Why would you quit Intel? It always seemed risky to just do the thing you didn't really want to do. That felt risky to me. And so at Facebook, I learned how to build products. I learned, you know, I worked for Zuckerberg directly. I just learned how to grow a business. It was really special. I was fired from there, which was also a good lesson about things can get taken from you. And so creating your own businesses is a good hedge against that. After I got fired, I kind of was just like trying so many different things, and someone showed me this product called My Mint, which ended up becoming Mint.com. And I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. You know, a free personal finance tool to help people with their money. And they were hiring a director of marketing. And so I applied and I was very quickly rejected. He's like, you've never done marketing. I was like, I know. I don't know anything about marketing except, you know, I've built things and try to tell people about them. And so I told Aaron Patzer, who was the founder, I said, let me just put together a marketing plan for you. Tell me a goal. And he said, 100,000 users, 6 months after launch. I was like, let me put together a plan. I'll present it to you. And if you like it, you can pay me to execute it. So I spent 60 hours. I spent a full week putting together this marketing plan. And people can actually get the marketing plan. It's on appsumo.com for free, the Mint marketing plan. And I presented it to him. And he's like, okay, cool. I'll pay you. I think it was like $40 an hour. You can execute on it. And after 3 months, if it's good, I'll give you a salary. And after 3 months, executed, made $100,000, which is amazing to get that salary and 1% of the company.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Which is super cool. I mean, I think for a lot of people out there, you know, rejection is a test if you want something. And if you're trying to get a job, don't tell people things, show people things. And that's something I still love to this day. And so that is really where the foundation of what I'd call the growth machine or Noah Kagan method or how I've approached, you know, really doing marketing, which has helped AppSumo become an $80 million a year business, which is unbelievable. You know, software deals for solopreneurs, tidycal.com, which is our Calendly alternative, same marketing playbook, which became a seven-figure business in a year. And it's the same marketing playbook. If people have heard of Million Dollar Weekend, it's the same one I'm teaching in the book and did for the book. Really through the Mint experiences, the foundation of, all right, how do you figure out who your customer is? How do you figure out goals? How do you figure out the right marketing strategies? Because, you know, the marketing strategies at Mint.com did not work at AppSumo. That did not work for the book. And it's figuring out how do you figure out the right marketing playbook for your own business. So that's how I got into marketing.
Tell us a little bit about from Mint to AppSumo. Tell us a little bit about that journey as well. Because obviously, if you don't know what AppSumo is, everybody, I would describe it as like a discounter for software. I mean, is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah, I try not to use the word discount because I think that and the word cheap, but it's software deals for entrepreneurs.
Deals. Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And so most subscriptions like Calendly are $29 a month, but we have a product called tidycal.com, which is $29 for life. So every tool in AppSumo is you pay once for the tool and you get it forever. So for a lot of smaller solopreneurs like myself that like good deals or don't like subscriptions, it's a great opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about the journey starting that.
And yeah, the journey from Mint, the short version is I was dreamed of this entrepreneur thing and then I quit because I got fired. It depends if you talk to Aaron. I was like, I want to do my own thing and I didn't want to have a job and report to people. So I kept starting these businesses and a business I started, which was Facebook games. Remember Farmville?
Of course.
Yeah, I was one of those annoying people. And so I built an app in a weekend for hockey. I don't know nothing about hockey. It went viral. And then 2 months later, I quit the job once I hit my freedom number. And that's the number, which is the minimum you need to quit your job and live the life you want to live and do the thing you want to do. And that basically led me on a path where I didn't like making games. We ended up building a payments company for games. That did exceptionally well. But we ended up getting banned by Facebook and sued at the same day, which was a whole nother story, which was crazy. But it really kind of all these different things and rejections and failures kind of led me to AppSumo, which was just what I truly wanted to be doing, which is promoting things and getting good prices on things that I like and software. And so with AppSumo, the problem that I got excited about was how do I get software creators customers? Like after all these things, I was like, oh, how do I do that? And I was able in a weekend to validate that problem on Reddit. I posted a software deal after I cold emailed a software creator. I posted on Reddit, hey, does anyone want this deal? And very quickly, people were buying it, sending me PayPal payments. I'd manually give them the discount code. And that was 14 years ago. My first sale was $12.
That's crazy. So since then, you've gone on to start a couple software companies. You mentioned TidyCal.
Yeah, we have TidyCal.com. We have SendFox.com, which is a MailChimp alternative. We have KingSumo.com, which is a giveaway software. So a lot of it is just what are the tools we like for ourselves and create low-cost alternatives that make it affordable for other people.
And why did you decide to write a book? Like, talk to us a little bit about that, because I know how painful it is to write a book. I don't even know if you consider yourself a writer, if you got help. I mean, like, tell us a little bit about that.
Writing a book is hard.
I know.
Selling books is even harder.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I did everything I've ever done, all of my marketing things, and we did make the New York Times bestseller list, which is so amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. I think we sold maybe 12,000 books, which is, in book world, it's like the World Series, which is crazy, because I think in a lot of other businesses, if you sell 12,000, you're like, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah. Typically, that's considered a really good for a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Most books never make to 10,000. For me with this book, a few different things. I did hire a writer. So I think in businesses work, you know, try to see who has done the things you want to do and try to pay them to work with you, which is something we do at AppSumo. So I hired Tal Roz. He wrote Never Split the Difference and Never Eat Alone. And so I think I have good stories. I have good strategy. I'm a good marketer, but I'm not always going to be the best writer or author. And so I wanted to work with someone who was. And the reason about the book, one, I will say a book is a great way to promote things. This was probably the most surprising part of a book, especially for marketers. It gave me a really great reason to reach out to people or people to reach out to me to talk about something. And it sounds maybe obvious now, but it was definitely unexpected. So in your own businesses, what is a reason that you can reach out to someone that they'd be excited to have a conversation with you? Why I wrote it was twofold. One, I wanted a long project. Honestly, I just wanted something that was going to take me 4 years or longer, which is what this book took to just get to today. And now is, you know, continuing to get the message out. And I think the second part, a lot of the problems, and which are all business opportunities that I've done over the years, it's always coming back to myself, which is what's lacking for me that I want. And I wish there was a book when I was at Intel that's like, here's how you can actually do it in a weekend. And there just wasn't anything else out there like that. And so I wanted a book for myself that I can now give to others. That's like, if you want to get it going, it's this book.
Very cool. And when we were prepping for this interview, one of the things that became obvious is that there's been a common thread between what you've done with Mint, what you've done with AppSumo, and even what you've done with the book that I think marketers would find really interesting, which is kind of this product marketing strategy, right? Because in all these cases, you're marketing some sort of a product. You're marketing, in the case of Mint, software, in the case of AppSumo, one-time purchases. And in the case of this book, a physical item, right? So strategy from a perspective, like so many people listen to my podcast are very much into the tactical side of it, and they don't maybe think strategically all the time. And I just want to know from your perspective, why do you feel like strategy is so important for marketers that might be just focused on doing the next thing?
Michael, have you heard of this thing called 80-20?
Of course. Yes.
Everyone's heard it. Everyone in the world has heard it. But, and you have so many smart listeners and gorgeous listeers. And we all, and as marketers, they've heard of it, but what I don't know if people realize is, especially if you're getting started, how do you actually find the optimal 80-20 in your businesses, specifically in the marketing approach? And I don't know if people are using a system.
Well, explain it to people that don't know 80-20, because I know there's going to be somebody out here that doesn't know what we're talking about.
I joke, because I do think most people know. But the idea there is like very few things are the things that are actually going to make the difference in your business. And that same is going with your strategy, which is how can you find, whether you're just getting started or whether you're going, the things that are really working so you can really use them extensively to have success. And so how do you actually use a framework or a system to find the things that are working so that people in marketing specifically can get even better results for the amount of work that they're doing?
And this is a key point, because what I hear you say is that, hey, there's a lot of things we do as marketers, but there's a good chance that 80% of it's not working. And what if we could just focus on what actually is working? And if you could focus on what actually is working, you've got an accelerator for your business. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. And let me just give an example of this. So AppSumo, which is amazing. We started, you know, $12 in a weekend, which is bonkers. And, you know, today we do maybe $200,000, $250,000 a day in sales, which is unbelievable. And we're so excited about that. We don't do TikTok. We don't do Twitter. We don't do Instagram. Now, most marketers are like, oh, of course you got to do it. Why? Have you looked at the results? Is it actually producing for you? And I think we've done a really good job of who's our customer and where are they that we're able to reach effectively. And that's an example of 80-20 where it's not working, so we don't do it. Maybe we'll test it and revisit it, which I'll talk about later. But we found that Google Ads crushes for us. Affiliate stuff crushes for us. Video ambassadors crushes for us. So we go very, very deep only in terms of 80-20 in the areas that are effective for AppSumo in our marketing.
I love that. And there's so many opportunities there for marketers. We're going to start zooming into Noah's strategy here, and everybody's going to want to pay attention. He's already given you some clues as to where we're going. But let's start with, what's the first part, Noah, of your strategy, you know, when it comes to marketing a product?
There's a three-step strategy, and we'll cover that today. You know, the first part, and you know, it's the stuff I break down a million-dollar weekend, is number one, do you have something people actually want? And I can't tell you how many times people come to me, Mike, and like, Noah, can you do my marketing? And I was like, you don't have a marketing problem. You have a business problem. Like, no one wants what you're doing. And so how do you know if someone wants what you're doing? I always recommend, especially if you're getting started, you can get 3 customers in 48 hours, which is a weekend. Now, same thing with content. Can you get people to watch your content? My YouTube channel has 1 million subs. My first video when I started getting back into YouTube was me shirtless with my phone. So you don't need a studio. You don't need anything. And it was just me talking. And I got 300 views on that first video. And I was like, oh, this is cool. People like it. Now, you have to find these things that people actually really, really want, where you're not having to convince them. Because, you know, the best marketing is a great product. Like at Mint, yes, I think I did a very good job marketing. We sold for $200 million. We got 1 million users in 6 months. But it was just a problem that people were very excited about. And my job was to find out, you know, we knew who the person was. Now, where are they? And that's where it became really simple. And so, first part of all the marketing, is it something people really want? And let's assume that everyone here has that. But I think you have to be clear. People are excited about what you're doing. Now, the second part of after you've found a problem people are excited about is have a very singular goal with a timeline. Very singular goal with a timeline. So let me be specific here, and I'll give you examples so that people can think of ones for their own businesses. AppSumo's very singular one goal, and this is what I learned working for Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook. So AppSumo's goal this year is $56.6 million in net revenue. That is our number one goal that everyone in the company knows. That's our one goal. And I'll talk about why this is important. Second one, let's take $1 million weekend. My number one goal for this book was to get 1,000 reviews. That's it.
Okay.
Within the 30 days of launch. Same with my YouTube channel. I want to get 1.25 million subscribers by the end of this year. And what I've noticed from marketers, they're like, oh, I'm going to get more. I'm like, okay, how much more? And by when? And what this provides you is that you can work backwards. Like, Mike, if you were going to drive to a restaurant, you go and put in your destination and then you get a route. Like, why wouldn't you do that in your marketing?
That's really well said.
I think people are like, well, I'm just going to do a bunch of things and then hope it works there.
You know why? Because here's why. Because people think they know how to get there. They think, oh, I've got this goal and I'm just going to figure it out, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that like don't use the navigation system, which is stupid because they're going to get stuck in traffic. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think that's the point. So when you have something people want and then you have a destination, by the way, sometimes as you plan your marketing, which we'll get into in a little bit, you might get traffic accidents. You might get traffic jams. There might be an express lane. And so how do we be mindful of creating a framework that we can approach these things? And the beginning of all of it is the destination so that we can work backwards from there.
Okay, cool.
And that's the same thing I've done in all these different businesses where it's, you could say once is lucky, but Mint, AppSumo, TidyCal, SendFox, King Sumo, YouTube, Million Dollar Weekend, like there seems to be something, some process that seems to be working.
Okay. So the first part of your strategy is this planning phase, right? Where we talk about, obviously we have to have a product we know people want, which is going to be probably the case for most of our listeners because they work for existing businesses. But if you're starting something up or you've got a new product, you know, the best marketing in the world on something nobody wants isn't going to make any difference, right? And then you're going to have to, like, can you get 3 customers in 48 hours? I love that. You should have a singular goal with a timeline. And you said create a framework. Are we going to talk about that framework or is that part of the next question?
Part of the next part.
Okay, cool. So the first part of your strategy we just talked about. What's the next part of your strategy?
All right. So now I would have people be thinking about how do you create your growth machine or what I like to think as well as like your experiment framework. So let me explain why this matters. The things that worked at AppSumo did not work at Mint. Like at Mint, blogging was like number 2 strategy that worked super well. We've blogged so much AppSumo that we're not blogging no more because it's not working for our business, right? If you look at it, like how much we pay the team to write, we look at the traffic to the revenue, it's like, it's just not ROI, but it worked super well at Mint. And so you have to be mindful of, okay, well, what are my options available? How do I create a process to make these decisions and find that 80-20 that we were talking about? You know, in AppSumo, as I said earlier, ads and affiliate really work, but that doesn't work for my personal brand. What works for my personal brand is YouTube videos. Okay. So let me give people kind of 3 questions that will help them start crafting their experiment framework. And here's what the experiment framework should do for you. We had that singular goal that everyone chose. So let me give you a real example of that. So for this book, after I hit 1,000 reviews, which we have literally a list, and this is marketing. A lot of times people are like, tell me the strategy. Well, if your goal is 1,000 reviews, why don't you just get a list of 1,000 people that you can contact?
Okay.
It's like, okay, cool. I have it. So our second goal was, all right, well, if that goal is hit, what's our next goal? 25,000 sales within 30 days. Okay, great. You have a goal, you have a timeline. Now, you want to create an experiment framework that gives you numbers that can add up to 25,000. Now, when you're starting or doing your marketing, especially if you're starting, you're like, I don't know if they're going to work. And I'm like, exactly, they're experiments. But what you can do is you make a list of as long as you can think of ways that you can get to that goal, and you sort it by the biggest number to the smallest number. Again, people are like, is it that easy? I'm like, yeah, it is.
When you say sort it by the biggest, explain what you mean by that.
So let me give you an example with this book. So this book, I said, I'm going to get 25,000 sales within 30 days. Now we came up with all these options. And it was like, okay, well, let's actually stack rank them from what we think will have the highest impact to lowest so that we can prioritize experimenting to see which ones make a difference or not.
Got it. Okay. So you rank order what you think will have the biggest impact.
Exactly. Because it's hard to know. Like, look, people copy marketing. Oh yeah, I'm on YouTube, do YouTube. It's like they do YouTube and it's not working. I'm like, I know, that's okay. But you can experiment with these things quicker, find what is working so you can really double down within these marketing channels.
Okay, so let me pause there for a second just in case people are like getting lost here. So we're inside of this concept, this framework, this experimental thinking, right? And let's just say it's 1,000 reviews to keep it simple, right? And you come up with an idea. One idea might be 1,000 people, right? Another idea might be a referral system, I would imagine, right? Like you just come up with a list of ideas, like ask someone to be an ambassador and find 2 people to review it. I mean, I would imagine you come up with a long list. Is that generally how that works?
Yeah. So what you're looking for is what you think these things will do, and then you can actually test them and see what they actually do. And that helps you make clarity about which things to continue. So for this, you know, the initial goal of 1,000 reviews, it was like, DM people on Twitter manually, paid ads, referral, word of mouth, YouTube videos about it, and all these different ideas. And then as you sorted it, it was kind of like, huh, I literally could just DM people one by one and get them to actually say they'll leave a review on the book or not. And that's what we ended up doing because I did it, I tried it, and it worked exceptionally well.
So people are going to ask, well, I guess how the heck did you had to give them the book for free in order for them to write the review then, presumably, right?
No.
No? How'd that work?
Yeah. And I want to give people questions so that they can have some things that to use. I'll give that in a second.
Okay. All right.
For this 1,000 reviews, the initial goal, what I actually was thinking, I was like, huh, I want to get these 1,000 reviews. Like, what's in it for them? You know, who's this person that needs to start a business in a weekend? What's in it for them? And I was like, well, maybe they'll get early access to the book. I will coach them on their own businesses. They can meet other people. They can see behind the scenes how I'm doing the marketing of this business. That sounds like a pretty good deal. And all that my ask is that you pre-order the book and you leave a review.
Ah, okay.
So I posted on Twitter, and this is important in marketing. Do it within the medium. I'll say it again. Do it within the medium of marketing. So I posted on Twitter, hey, I'm looking to build a launch team. If you're interested, just DM me or leave a comment. And I initially was going to say, go to my email site, go to my website, or send me an email. And it's like, no, do the marketing in the medium. So I had around 300 people DM me or leave comments, and I one by one myself DM them. Just again, coming back on this, Mike, it was like, oh, this is interesting. People really are responding to that message. Like 300 people was like, cool. I'm almost all the way to my 1,000. Not all of them bought. I think it was around 70% conversion rate, which is insane.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates. Okay, I'm going to ask a clarifying question. I might be going down a little rabbit trail, but you got these people on your launch team. Was the goal to get 1,000 people on your launch team or to get 1,000 people to buy the book and do the review? Because it's obviously there are steps in between there, right?
It's all part of the same. I wanted to get 1,000 people I could ask personally that I know bought the book. Ideally, they're going to read the book and then they leave an honest review.
I see.
And I think the important part here is a lot of times in marketing, if you have a higher ticket item or if your actual targeted customers is small, people are like, how do I do ads? How do I do videos? It's like, well, maybe you could just literally look on your contacts on LinkedIn and see if there's people you can directly connect with that could be your customer. I think a lot of times people want to they overcomplicate the marketing to the actual goal they're trying to accomplish.
Okay, so if we bring it back to this second part of your strategy, we're building out some sort of an experimental framework, right? And we're ideating on ways we can achieve the goal. And we're rank ordering the ones that we think are going to have the biggest yield. And then we're in an experimental period. I mean, go with wherever you were going to go with that because I took you down a trail.
No, that was great. Again, I think it's great examples. There's two parts that I think we broke. One, if you're trying to get 10 customers, just make a list. I mean, I talk about $1 million. We can call your dream 10 and just write them down. A lot of times I meet people that have businesses and that people like their products. And I'm like, who's the next 3 customers you need? Do you have their names? Who are they? And people are like, oh, actually, yeah, it's easier than I thought. I'm like, I know, don't overcomplicate it. But what I will say in terms of the experimental framework, especially if you're starting or if you're getting going, let's take the 25,000 sales in a month, because I think that's a great example for others. We stack ranked all these ideas. So we thought, all right, we have this 1,000 person launch team already. That was completed. Maybe we can do something with my email list. Maybe we can do something with AppSumo. Maybe I can work with prefluencers. So this is a strategy that I've used at every company, and it's worked exceptionally well, which is Social Media Examiner is a big site, but there's people that are Social Media Examiner that are super tiny. You know, mini Social Media Examiner that are on the come up. Maybe there's bulk buys. Maybe there's YouTube content. And so we stacked ranked all these things and thought, okay, will this add up to the 25,000 target? And so then we started trying these different things. So we tried a promotion on my list. We tried a little bit with AppSumo. We tested it. And this is the philosophy that we use, test and invest. So we tried all these things. And then we ended up with about 5 things that were like, wow, these are driving sales and pre-orders for the book. And we have confidence. Some didn't work, like paid ads didn't work. Referrals did not work. But what did work was those 5 I mentioned, which is launch team, my own network, so Noah Kagan and AppSumo, Dream 10, which is who are the Dream 10 shows, like you're one of them to be on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Dream 10 show. Prefluencers, and then entrepreneurial communities. So Reddit, Tropical MBA, E-commerce Fuel, Rob Walling. Now, for other people out there, here's taking a step back, because I think we definitely ran down some different parts. So I want to give a high-level view. So you're creating your experimental framework about what you expect it to do, and then you have to do it and see what it actually does so you can figure out which ones to double down on. Now, here's three questions I want to recommend for people to help you create that framework. Number one is, who exactly is your customer and where can you find them? And I think people miss out on who their customers are so often. And then when you think about where they are, that really helps you think about, all right, well, what are the different marketing strategies based on who that person is and where they are that I can reach them? Maybe it's flyers in coffee shops. I know that seems strange, but if you work backwards from what your goal is and who and where they are, you can create the marketing opportunities to reach these people. Number two, if you had to double your business in 30 days, what would you do? And number three, how can you over-delight your existing customers today? And I think people start, when they go through these questions and then they put this together in their framework, they're like, huh, maybe it's a lot easier than I thought. And then it really helps them hone in on what are the parts that are working so I can continue those more. And we can talk about that in the next section.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I got all this. The first section is, who is your customer? Where do you find them? And what are your strategies you can do to reach them? That's the first bulk of questions. The second question is, how do you double in 30 days and what would you do? And then the last one was, how do you delight your existing customers? Is that right?
How do you double your business with no money, with no extra money being spent?
Ah, okay. Double with no extra money in 30 days. And then what wasn't, am I missing the last one?
The last one is, how can you over delight your existing customers?
Okay, got it. Okay, I want to go back to the experimental framework for a second. Tell us, like, how do we know if an experiment works? Like, just give us a little bit of like stuff on that.
So yeah, if you look at the process of this framework, it's number one, do we have something people want? And then do we have a single goal and a timeline? Then we create all the marketing strategies we think are going to help us hit that goal. Now, part three, which is really the, you know, I think when we were talking about it before, it's really the iteration phase. So now the two key phrases that everyone should be thinking about is test and invest and double down. And I think now those are kind of common words, and I'll give very specific stories so that it really hammers home. But what you're going to be recognizing is, you came up with the framework of the things you're going to do for your marketing. And now you're really finding out which ones work and don't work. And the ones that work, you're going to go excessive on. And the ones that don't work, you have to stop. So for AppSumo, in the beginning of January 23, our marketing advisor named Moody said, this affiliate thing is working really well for you guys, but you're not doing any affiliate video marketing, meaning getting video ambassadors. So people that are making videos on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, like, maybe you should try doing them as affiliates. So we reached out, we used just a spreadsheet, and we reached out, I think, to one person, two people. We said, hey, do you guys want to make some videos? And we'll pay you $1,000 and we'll give you 15% of whatever you sell. And we did it, and we were able to make our money back within a week, meaning we spent that money. And then those people that made the content were able to pay back. The payback period was less than a week, which for marketers is insane.
Okay, so just so we're clear, because I know some people might be having a hard time tracking all this. We are now in the third stage here of your strategy, which is specifically this analyze and improve stage. And you're giving us an example of an experiment that was successful. And you asked people to specifically create videos, presumably on whatever, YouTube, TikTok, didn't matter, right? And you gave them the instructions and you tracked the sales, and then it worked really well. So you continue to keep doing it. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. By the way, great job, like Scottie Pippen and Jordan. You're like alley-ooping. I'm alley-ooping back to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it is complicated. And I just want to pause for a second and help everybody kind of understand the journey we've gone on, right? Like, assuming in the beginning, first stage of the strategy here, you've got this plan, right? And then you're in this second phase, which we spent a little bit of time on this refining of the plan and coming up with these ideas and rank ordering. And we threw prefluencers out there, which I wanted to come back to. And I'm going to do that right now, just for a second. Define what the heck a prefluencer is. I've never heard that phrase before.
Yeah, let me break everything down with Million Dollar Weekend and literally show the marketing from this, because I think this will tie all these together. I put an article out in 2011 on Tim Ferriss's site about how I start businesses in a weekend. It went insanely viral, like 10 million views. So it was like, wow, people really want that. Then I was like, okay, let's do a book deal. What's my singular goal with the timeline? 1,000 reviews within launch month. Okay, great. Now I have that. I had all these ideas about how to do it. And what ended up working was just literally posting on social media, like on LinkedIn and Twitter, hey, DM me if you want to join our launch team. We got the 1,000 reviews. So we literally were able to hit our goal with the first thing that worked, which is very abnormal, I would say. Now, though, it was like, all right, with Million Dollar Weekend, our next goal is 25,000 sales. One of the things on our experimental framework was prefluencers. And this is this, I've done this at AppSumo. I've done this at Mint. Prefluencers are one of the best marketing things that everyone can leverage. A prefluencer is someone who doesn't charge market rate, is really what it is. And market rate for marketers means you're paying full price. So What this means is, can you find people that are coming up with great audiences that are not charging full price for it?
They don't realize their value yet is really what you're saying.
Not yet. Yeah. And they're excited because no one else has paid them. And a lot of them are like, wow, you're reaching out to me. So on YouTube, I basically looked at people who wrote for Million Dollar Weekend. On YouTube, on Goodreads, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on TikTok, I looked at people who reviewed other books that I liked their videos that didn't have over 100,000 subscribers. And I just made a list of all those people. And then I just DM'd them. Hey, I really liked your videos. I thought it was great. Can I send you a VIP edition of Million Dollar Weekend?
I want to pause here for a second and say, folks, this is like really important what Noah's talking about. Because what Noah's doing is Noah's looking in places that not everyone looks, right? And I think that's part of your secret sauce to your strategy, Noah, is that so many of us as marketers come up with a plan and we do what everybody else does, or we copy what someone else does, right? We look at a successful marketer who seems to be crushing it with ads and we say, okay, we're just going to do ads. Or we look at another marketer that's just great with content and we say, we're just going to do content. What Noah does is he scans the entire horizon and he sees, oh, everyone's looking at ads. Everyone's looking at content, but no one's looking over there and sees the pre-influencer people. And you're looking for all these different ideas and you say, throw the experiment out there. Let's see what happens. Am I close?
That's exactly right. Especially with marketers. If you're doing ads like everyone else, you're paying the price of everyone else. And it's very hard to win. So you have to find the thing that's a little bit untapped. And it doesn't mean it can work. And just to give you a quick example, Twitter ads might work for someone. AppSumo, we've spent, and I'm not joking, about $100,000 cash on Twitter ads for AppSumo, and it's not working for us. So we're stopping working. We still want it. It's still okay for brand, but we're like, this is just not working. We've got to reduce and kill that. But maybe for someone else, it does. Now, this pre-influencer strategy, is it a little bit more manual? Yes. But the response from it and the people that I communicate with, they have, one, they're easier to talk to. They're excited when you pay them like less amounts because they've never gotten paid. And a lot of times what I'm looking for is ones that have engaged audiences.
Folks, this is so important what we're talking about here right now. And it doesn't have to just be pre-influencers or whatever this phrase is that Noah's come up with. Anything, right? Anything that is worth an experiment, as long as you have the bandwidth and the money and the time to do it. And this is why this only works if you have an experimental mindset. And I kind of think we need to spend a few minutes on this because most marketers never stop anything. They pile, pile, pile.
Oh my God, Michael, plus 1 trillion. Most marketers just keep doing everything. And I would say AppSumo's success, and I think the marketing process, is what are the real areas you can double down on? And everyone's heard test invest, or I think they're starting to hear it. And I think most people have heard double down. But if people actually stop today and look at their marketing plans and really thought, all right, what's everything we're doing? What's everything? Look at everything, every single thing you're doing. LinkedIn, Twitter, PR, YouTube, ads, product marketing. Which ones are really the top 2, maybe 3 max that are actually working?
And stop everything else.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Because we were like, well,
it's working a little bit.
It's kind of, I know, but if you use that money, time, and attention on the things that are working and you just focused on them even more, how much bigger could that be? And, you know, this is the same, it's what ends up working the most in marketing.
Well, and this is really hard for everybody to process when we live in this world, in this squirrel world. Squirrel, what's that? Oh, AI. Oh, what's that over there? Oh, Instagram has a new feature, right? So you have to be disciplined, people. Really, really disciplined. And Noah is successful because he's extremely disciplined. And that means you have to be willing to kill your darlings, which is not easy for a lot of people. And what I tell my company and my team is if I ask why and you say, because we've always done it, I kill it. That is never the answer. That is never an acceptable answer. If you say, because I can prove it works, great. But does it work more than all these other things? Because you hit on something, Noah. We're humans. We have a finite amount of attention and time and creative energy. We have to be willing to make room for new ideas. And if you weren't out there, you would have never discovered the prefluencers and you probably wouldn't have reached your goals, right? Because you're out there almost like probably to an extreme, watching and stopping. Watching, testing, and stopping, right?
And then really focusing on what's working.
Yeah.
I think that's the part AppSumo, as I said earlier in the show, ads and affiliate work. Now I think the ads team with the agency we work with is like 6 people. That video ambassador program is now 5 people. But it's finding those areas that are really working, having some space for experiments, right? You should keep experimenting while you have your things that work. But if you think about it from a percentage point, like literally the 80% should be on the ones that work and 20% should be on experiments that you're uncertain of. And the way you can even think about that easily is just have 1 experiment a month. while the things that are working, you're focusing the majority of your time on.
Let's focus back on the analytics side of things and the experiment side of things. So we've come up with a goal and it's not working. What do we do?
Yeah. So let me just give you examples. So for Million Dollar Weekend, we tried referrals. So I was like, oh, launch team. We had that 1,000-person launch team. If you refer, I'm going to give you all this stuff. We had 1,300 people is what we ended up with the launch team. 6 people referred.
Wow.
6, which were great. I appreciate all 6 of them. But then we're like, all right, this referral thing does not work. We're not going to do that anymore. YouTube content. You know, I've been putting out a lot of YouTube content in the past 2 years. We weren't even able to put out a YouTube video about the book launch.
Weren't able to because it didn't work? Or what do you mean you weren't able to?
We did. We put out a launch video that got 12,000 views. And then I just put out another video last week about the book that got 20,000 views, where most of our videos are getting 100,000. So we didn't do a good job. Again, this is the whole point. Like, some things won't work for some and some will, but the content around the book on our channel did not work. And so it's like, all right, let's not keep doing the same thing that's not working. We have to revisit it and change that. And there are things though from this book that super worked that we're like, all right, like here's one that I think everyone can copy. And we sent out emails for our launch promotion and buy the book, and they were stories. Here's my story of me at Intel. Here's my story of this woman, Mackenzie, who had a lot of success using Million Dollar Weekend for her business. One of the things that worked really well was taking the emails and actually sharing the actual email across the social channels. That was an experiment.
So when you say it's taking the email, you mean posting it as a text post? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I found that to be exceptionally successful.
It's weird. I was like, doesn't everyone already read the emails from noahkagan.com? Are they already reading it? And they're like, no, they're not. Or they're busy and they don't always see it. And I was surprised how much they actually still worked. And so now moving forward with all of our marketing, we're going to be doing every email is then going to get redistributed across social. Or another thing in marketing that worked super well that now I'm bringing into AppSumo. Again, you do these experiments, you see what works, and then you bring it back into the main thing. Once someone pre-ordered, I had a tweet. It was like, click this button after you pre-ordered. It was like, hey, I just bought Noah Kagan's book, milliondollarweekend.com. I'm looking forward to it. People did it all day in the pre-order section, which is so interesting. I was like, oh, I didn't know if that was going to work. Now with AppSumo, we're going to add it in. So after you make a purchase, you have a chance to share what you just purchased.
Okay, real quick question here. Are you using a special system to track all this stuff? Because obviously you got a lot of things in motion. Do you have somebody on your team that's like filling in a spreadsheet? Or if you hired somebody whose job is just to track all this stuff and come up with metrics and report it to you, like just a little bit on that side of things.
Yeah. So again, most of the stuff you can use Bitly or some basic tracker in a Google spreadsheet. Or if you're doing this tweet one, you literally could just be like, how many people bought, and go on Twitter and search and how many people replied. So what I like to do though is have with all of my different, you know, with AppSumo or YouTube or this book, I hire a full-time person to be the CEO of it. So there's guy Tommy that basically was responsible for tracking everything with the book. And then with AppSumo now at this point, we have like a BI team and blah, blah, blah. But I think if you're just getting started, like I would just use a spreadsheet and see if you can be like, all right, how many people came and how did it work? Like, I don't think you need very complicated software.
What is a BI team?
This is crazy, by the way. So we spend maybe $1 million a year just on analytics. So business intelligence, we use Snowflake and Fivetran and Looker. And what happens is you get to, there's now Tableau. And I think people have heard of these or some people are aware of it. But at some size, you want to understand like how people are coming to your site. And so there's a dedicated team of 2 people, Bob and Alfredo at AppSumo, that are dedicated to just understanding our metrics. You know, you do things in business and I don't think we fully understand the implications. Maybe not marketing. I guess it's a little marketing related. Like I had this intuition that we should just lower our prices. So I made us lower the prices, which is marketing, right? You lower your price. Ideally, more people find out about it. Your conversion rate goes up. Turns out that was a really bad mistake.
Yeah, you probably killed your profitability, right?
We killed our profitability and the amount of new buyers we thought would come in from lower prices did not go up. But all of our existing customers just got a lower price, which means less money for marketing, less money for our partners, less money for us, less profitability. But without the BI team, we would not have been able to understand that. And I definitely could have used my own advice, which is test it first instead of making the whole store lower priced. But that is what the BI team saves our ass now all the time.
I love that. I would love to talk about you building in public because, or sharing in public or whatever the phrase is of the day, because I think this is a cool concept that a lot of marketers maybe are afraid of. How does that work for you?
Yeah, I want to touch on 2 things. One, you know, there's a thing with indie hackers, which I think of myself as one, which is there's build in public, right? Where you build your thing and then you post it on Twitter or you send it out on YouTube. But I like building with the public, building with your customers. And I think people are surprised how much people want to be a part of your experience. So when I started literally writing the book, Million Dollar Weekend, I had this launch team helped me write the book.
Oh, wow.
So every chapter I had 20 different people review it. And then I literally email them afterwards, or I comment like, thank you so much. And then I would send them the update to see what they thought. It's like kind of obvious a little bit, but then when you start realizing like most of us, we like go in our kitchens, make a dish and we like throw it out. And then we hope the customer likes it. And unless you really communicate with them and talk with them, and if they didn't buy anything, like here's a marketing thing. I literally, someone today, I had a person do this and they're like, oh my God, they have a flower business. And she's the marketer for their flowering company. And she's like, yeah, no one bought our Black Friday special. And I was like, well, did you email them and ask them why not? And you could literally just send an email to those people that opened and said, hey, I'm just curious, like how come you didn't buy? And she sent me her screenshots. It was like hundreds of replies. And she's like, I'm actually replying to them and making sales. And that's by integrating your customers with your own product and with your own experience. And like every single Friday for 6 months, just as another example, we emailed and posted on Slack everything we did with our book marketing. And that really creates a really interesting experience where people reply to me, they post on Slack. They're like, oh, cool, I saw what you did. Hey, Noah, you should go on this show. I know him. Oh, great, thank you.
See, and that's the magic sauce right there, right? Like this is for anybody who's scared of maybe publicly sharing the journey. You're going to turn some of your biggest fans into advocates for you, right? And they're going to be private messaging you like that just guy just did and say, hey, I can get you on this show, or I know somebody, or they're going to give you ideas. And it's like they're working for you for free, right?
They're excited. I mean, think about it. We like telling people about restaurants we like. How cool is it? We were just in an AppSumo meeting with all the marketing team right before this. And the question someone asked is like, what are your favorite brands that other people don't know about? And one of the key things that our whole team was excited about is that there's different brands. And I would say one of the girls was talking about Curology. And she said, they messaged me personally. How easy is that as a marketer just to say thank you to your customer? How easy is that to ask them, how have things been going? Hey, you haven't bought anything recently. Like, how's business for you? And I think we miss out on that when we're thinking so often about scale and ads and things that are mass things. It's just on an individual basis. And I think we've had a lot of success with AppSumo, with this book, with the YouTube channel, where I reply to every DM myself. I reply to most emails myself. I reply to YouTube comments myself, because also I like it. But that's a way of really getting customers excited to be a part of your journey and you to help them with theirs.
Is there any part of your strategy that we glossed over that you were meaning to mention? Because I know I took you down a million different trails and I feel like we had some really awesome discussion, but I just want to make sure there wasn't something important that we missed.
The last part I would say, and I think this strategy literally applies for every single business. If you have some people want, you have a goal, you have things you try out, and then really focus on the ones that just work. And, maybe some of these other things we mentioned, I think people are, I'd love for them to DM me at Noah Kagan, let me know what works for you. The last part I would say that's critical, and we do this at AppSumo religiously, and I did it with the book marketing as well, which is debriefs. I think this is just such a missing thing from marketers, which is after you do a campaign, what would you do again? What would you not do? And what do you want to try next time? So at AppSumo, we have Sumo Day, we do Black Friday. And now it's like, okay, well, what worked that we can keep doing? And then you basically every year get new columns. And every year you get a little bit better and a little bit better. So, for instance, with our Black Friday, we did a giveaway. And even though we break even, we literally don't make money on the giveaway, people like it. We like it. It's fun. Our customers like it. My mom likes it. She's like, a few years ago, we didn't do it. She's like, how come you didn't do it? It's like, oh yeah, that was a good thing. Let's keep doing it. And so this year I'll just give a sneak peek. I think for Sumo Day, we're going to give away a Cybertruck.
Oh, wow. A Tesla Cybertruck. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Which is just kind of like, it's crazy and it's cool. And it's like, yeah, it's great. And the same thing with the book. After we did the marketing, I don't know if I'll do another book, but I will launch other things. So we debrief like which things actually worked in it, which things did not work for the book, and then what things maybe we should try for another thing. And that's something we can use for this launch or if we do another launch. So again, in all of your marketing, whether it's a win or a loss, like it didn't work out towards your goal that you wanted for the campaign, just do a debrief that you can keep building off of. I think that's essential.
Noah Kagan, author of The Million Dollar Weekend and host of the Noah Kagan Presents podcast and the founder of AppSumo and so many other things. First, thank you very much for being extremely transparent with the ideas and strategies and asking and answering all the questions that I had. Some folks are going to want to connect with you. You said DM you, but which platform is your preferred platform? And then if anybody wants to learn more about you and your company, where would you like to send them?
Yeah. So we're going to have a lot of resources. So if you want to see more of the marketing and a lot of things we talked about, you can go to milliondollarweekend.com/SME. And it's a free resource section. There's no cost in that. And it'll have a lot of tutorials. It'll have step-by-steps that people can see. And then people can message me, if you hit that email when you join on that website, or at Noah Kagan. I reply to almost every single person.
At Noah Kagan on which, all social platforms? Or
all social.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Noah, thank you, my man, for coming on and sharing all your insights with us today. We're so much better because of it.
Thank you.
Hey, if you missed anything, don't worry about it. We took all the notes for you. We got it all organized. Simply head over to socialmediaexaminer.com/607. And if you're new to the show, follow us on your favorite podcast app. If you've been a longtime listener, it would help us out if you would let your friends know about this show, or your fans, or your followers. I'm at Stelzner on Facebook, at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter. Also, we've got a couple other shows you got to listen to. We've got the Marketing Agency Show, and we've also got the Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you next week. I hope you make the best out of your day, and may your marketing keep evolving. Catch you next time.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.